Gracious God, our loving Father, this is quite a prayer that we have sung in thy presence. Thou wouldst divorce our affections from this world. We confess how oft times we are distracted from anything but Christ, and our thoughts are taken up with things around us. But we are a heavenly people. We're not of this world, even as the Lord was not of this world. We're journeying on to our eternal portion, and we desire to reflect Christ to those we encounter, to feed on Christ as our daily portion, to be found going on in fellowship with our risen, glorified Christ in heaven. We desire mercies unto this end, that thou wouldst wean us from this world. Give us a spiritual appetite. Work by thy Spirit this afternoon. Grant that message which would be for the edification, for the comfort, the upbuilding of thy dear people, we pray, our God. Thou wouldst direct that in all things he may be exalted, and that thy dear people may be encouraged. We do pray, too, for our loved ones back at home, that there may be a like portion for them as well. And so we ask thy blessing on the meeting to follow. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Well, obviously, this scripture is directed toward Israel, and it's not my thought to talk about prophecy. But here we see the promise by Ezekiel prophetically to a future day. We know that Israel rejected the statutes of the Lord, and so they had it because they had a stony heart. And but the prophet looks forward with the Holy Spirit's writing here to a day when that stony heart would be removed and the Israel will be given a heart of flesh. And that's going to happen, isn't it, very, very soon. But you know, it's similar to us. Before we were saved, we had a stony heart. There was no love for Christ, no thought of God. But when we became born again, there was a new life put within us, and shall we say, a new heart that could appreciate God and the Lord Jesus and all of his marvelous love for us. And I've been thinking about the heart, your heart and mine. We get a lot of information, shall we say, for the mind, and that's fine. We have to know what's in the Word of God so that we can follow the Lord and please him. But you know, as we sang this hymn that our brother gave out, "Nothing but Christ is on we tread," comes to mind two things that are absolutely necessary for that to happen in any degree in our lives. And number one is to have the knowledge from the scriptures that would show us the pathway. But just as important is to have a heart that would desire these things, that has love for the Lord. And you and I, if we know the Lord as Savior, we have a life within us that enjoys nothing else than the Lord Jesus and the Father. And but you know, so many times our heart gets taken up with something else. And the heart is a very important, shall we say, organ. because whatever we want to do, the chances are we're going to do that. You know, when my brother and I were boys on the farm back in Rita Ferry, in the summertime when we got through with all of the haying and that day, and we'd be tired. But you know, we had something in our hearts, and that was to go fishing that night or that evening. And those long summer evenings were beautiful for fishing. And that we really wanted to do that. And so there wasn't anything that was going to get in our way. Yes, we had maybe 20 cows to milk. And we got those at those right away after supper. And pretty soon we had those cows milk and the milk in the cooler. And we had some worms dug and our lines ready and back to Bass Lake on our bikes and out in the little rowboat we had with the anchor and out to the favorite fishing spot. And there we caught lots of nice fish before the mosquitoes came along. And you know, we all enjoyed those next day for dinner. And but you see, we love to go fishing. We love the sport of it. And we loved the pleasant, quiet evening, and of course we loved eating them. So there was absolutely nothing that was going to get in our way. Now our father loved fish too, and he didn't have to tell us, Norman, Jim, boys, I want you tomorrow after milking to go back to Bass Lake and get a mess of fish. He didn't have to tell us that because this is something that we really enjoyed doing. And you know, it's that way, isn't it, spiritually, with the new life, the new heart that God has given us. If we can get everything else out of the way, the things that we'd like to do naturally, then just automatically you and I enjoy the things of the Lord. And it's a marvelous thing, and it's so marvelous and such an enjoyable thing, I can just only ask my heart, Norm, why don't you do that more often? Well, it's just a word today to all of us. We get a lot for our minds in the reading meetings, and we're thankful for that. But let's not forget, as it were, the part of the force behind a successful life, and that is having a heart to please the Lord. And we have various scriptures in the Bible that's certainly worth spending just a bit of time on. Let's take a look at Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Okay, this is familiar. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so I say to myself today as I stand here, Norm Wood, keep your heart focused on the Lord and His things, and make sure, guard it from getting involved in the things of this world, which are so attractive to my old heart and so attractive to your old heart. And so we have this verse which is familiar. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. There's nothing more important in our lives than our hearts, our affections, and what they're based on, what they're targeted on. Oh, I say to myself and to all of us here, keep our hearts focused on our Lord Jesus. And try to keep all of this, a lot of this other stuff, which isn't necessary, out of our lives. There are things that are very necessary in our lives, our jobs and our family and all of that that have to be looked after. But you know, we let things spread out too wide. And before we know it, Satan has those hooks in us which draw us away. Well, another verse that I want to look at, and that is, well, let's look first of all at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. We just had this verse at Rita Ferry, I think, on Tuesday. Philippians 4 and verse 7. I don't want to go into this verse, but I just want to read it to show there is a connection between our minds and our hearts. Here's the verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this is a lovely verse, but I don't want to get sidetracked on it. I just want to show that here's a verse that has our hearts and our minds together. Physically, there's no question. The physical mind and the physical heart are very much connected. There's at least two main nerves that go from the brain to the heart, one that speeds the heart and the other that slows it down. Well, physically, of course, we need our minds. We couldn't enjoy any thoughts without our minds, but so nice when they're connected together. To get to know only thoughts about the scriptures and facts would be a great shortcoming, wouldn't it? And they wouldn't have much power in our lives unless we really enjoyed those thoughts. And another verse in Hebrews 10 and 22. Just a lovely section here, but I'll zero in on verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, let us draw near with a true heart. What a marvelous thing it is for a Christian to have a true heart. Now, we mentioned previously that the sinner has a hard heart. And you know, sometimes our hearts as Christians become hard. What a marvelous thing it is for a Christian to have a soft heart, a heart that is sympathetic to those around. What a marvelous thing. Well, to have a true heart, that would be a heart, I believe, that's true to Christ. But it goes on, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Well, a conscience isn't evil, is it? God gave us our conscience. It's not evil. But when we're involved with thought or practice in bad things or evil things, then our conscience tells us it works on our hearts. Well, it's a marvelous thing to have a soft heart and a tender conscience, so that these two, shall we say, organs in our heart, in ourselves, can work together. Marvelous thing to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, because we have a heart that can enjoy evil. And then one last verse in Luke 24 and verse 32. Luke 24 and verse 32. This is a marvelous chapter that draws the hearts out so very much in the Christian. But I just again want to zero in on the one verse. In verse 32, we know this well. Let's just take a moment to set the stage here, because maybe some of the younger ones have forgotten about this chapter. But this happened after the Lord was crucified and buried. And two of his own that didn't recognize what was happening, that he was going to arise from the dead, in discouragement, they, as it were, left Jerusalem for home. And I can understand that, because I can see myself in their shoes. But it's a lovely passage and draws the heart out, how we see the Lord come along, somehow, shall we say, disguised, so they didn't know him. And he walks with them, these two, perhaps a husband and wife. And he starts to bring the scriptures before them, to talk about the scriptures, which would be the Old Testament ones. And he so very nicely, I'm sure, be a treat, wouldn't it, to have been there as he drew out of those Old Testament scriptures some beautiful examples of himself. And it affected their hearts. It affected their hearts because if we go down to the verse that I want to look at, and then, of course, I should finish up. But then it became nightfall, and the hearts of the disciples were so drawn out to this man who talked about the Lord Jesus so very nicely that they wouldn't let him go on. They said, "Oh, no, you come in. You come in and stay with us for the night." And so he did come in, and he broke bread with them. And as he broke the bread, he was known to them, these dear two disciples. Now let's go on to the verse I was looking at, verse 32. "And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?'" Isn't that a marvelous thing? And you know, you and I have experienced that at various times, haven't we? Perhaps at conferences, perhaps at our home assembly when a brother gets up and ministers about the Lord so nice and about his love, and our hearts burn within them. And it's such a marvelous thing. And but the thing I wanted to look at here was this verse, the one word. It says, "Did not our heart burn within us?" And, you know, I haven't been very attentive, because it was just a week or month or so ago that I recognized it didn't say hearts, but it said heart. Did not our hearts burn within us? No. This couple said, "Did not our heart." That is, they had the same heart for Christ. And isn't it a marvelous thing, you and I here this afternoon who love the Lord and are in communion, can't we say today, all of us, does not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And you know, he walks with us and he talks with us. Now I want to just read a poem before I sit down, and it's partly related to the hymn that we sang, "Nothing but Christ is on we tread." And this poem, I'll just read a verse or two, it's a hymn. But this was written, I believe, by our Mrs. Rule, Mrs. A.H. Rule, years ago. And it talks about our hearts and the direction of our love. It says, "Love not the world, its smiles, its hopes may lure thee on, but cup of joy and dream of bliss will soon be gone. Those dreams will fade as mist and morn, those hopes will die, and in that cup of seeming joy deep sorrows lie. Love not the world, it with its lust must pass away, its pleasure sweet, its hope so bright must all decay. Its glories, too, must have an end, must pale and die, and all its empty bubbles burst, there Satan's lie. But he who does the will of God, for aye will live, and drink the streams of heaven's delights, which Christ will give. He'll weep no more on that blessed shore, no marvel this, for joys well up and fill his cup, not but bliss. Dear fellow pilgrim in the path, look up, look on. There waits above a home of love where Christ is gone, and pleasures bright and courts of lights shall ever be throughout a happy, long, and blessed eternity." Well, you know, I'm just kind of talking to myself today. My father was up in years when he got married, and so when we came along, four children, he was getting up there pretty good. A nice man. My parents were very kind. But he developed some interesting habits. He used to talk to himself. And he'd be out in the garden talking to himself, and there was a hedge between the garden and the lane, and Jim and I had walked down the lane, and we'd hear our Father talking and in the garden, and we'd say, well, I wonder who's over there with Dad. And we'd go to the hedge and spread the hedge, and he's just there by himself talking. And so this afternoon, the person that needs this message most is myself. And so I'm just talking to myself. And if it hits a chord in anybody else, well, that's fine too.